were just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Over the last few years in particular, there are so many Christians that ask me about the mark of the beast. They're fearful of taking on the mark of the beast inadvertently, and particularly so since the Food and Drug Administration approved the marketing of a microchip that you can plant into the skin of humans for medical identification. Paranoid prophecy pundits, of course, immediately began touting VeriChip technology as the mark of the beast, spoken of in Revelation 13. But contrary to that kind of newspaper eschatology, there's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is a silicon microchip. Biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. Just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 in Revelation 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb, so the mark in Revelation 13 symbolizes identity with the beast. Likewise, when Jesus says that on him who overcomes, he's going to write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and write on him my new name, we intuitively realize that Jesus Christ does not have a magic marker in mind. The forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols. They're symbols of a person's beliefs and behavior. In other words, what you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. So John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to Scripture. Conversely, the notion that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship or a Social Security card or a silicone microchip has no biblical basis whatsoever. The mark of the beast is not something that can be taken inadvertently. It is the intentional denial in thought, word, and deed of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So rather than fearfully avoiding microchip technology, we should with fear and trembling resist the temptation to be conformed to the evil systems of the world. Instead, we must boldly accept the mark of the Lamb by offering our bodies as living sacrifices and by being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 12. Well, many of you hanging on, we'll go right to our phone callers. First up, let's talk to John. He's listening on XM 170 in Paradise, California. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Oh, good, brother. You know, I've been a long-time listener, and I support your ministry, been there with you through all these years, and God bless you for touching on that subject right there about the chip and the fear that involves.
Yes.
And you know how everyone was all hyped up at Y2K, and you had the sane assessment of the whole situation to set that at ease. God bless you, brother. I also have a large family, too. I have 10 children myself.
Oh, wow.
And we love Jesus with all our heart. My wife is a godly woman, and thank you for addressing this problem. See, I work at a company, and they were going to use one of these type of RFID technologies to, compensate and keep track of inventory.
Sure.
And I heard this other person, she was a professor, I forget what her name is, but she talked about how this type of technology would be more intrusive to our privacy, you know, as far as having this type of information that the store collects
Yeah, and that's a completely different issue. But I think that there are other considerations we might have, but certainly we don't want to think that Verichip technology is the mark of the beast.
Exactly, because I'm familiar with your book, The Apocalypse Code, and how, you know, you set everything at ease of how that had happened back in the first generation of the church, back with Nero, and how the martyrs were, you know, suffered under that regime back there. And you know, I totally understand this newspaper theology that goes on now, where they try to, you know, correlate everything that goes on around with what it says in scripture, which I don't believe. So, like you said, I always stay tethered to the Bible Answer Man, and I always kind of, you know, able to see what's going on around us, and, you know, stay on track to what is you know, more truthful than anything else out there. So I really appreciate you setting my mind at ease about that chip technology. And like I said, I'm a truck driver, and I listen to you almost every day. I'm at work during the week, and I'm very thankful to God for you and the CRI being there.
I'm thankful for your encouragement. It means the world to me. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you so much for these answers that, you know, just cut right through all of the distractions, all the untruths that are out there. Oh, and one other thing, I don't know if you could answer it real quick. There's a program that is on the radio called The Jesus Christ Show.
Yeah.
And I've listened to it. I've not actually listened through it, but once I hear that anyone tries to take the place of what Jesus would actually say, I automatically, a red flag goes up and says, I can't.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that Jesus Christ Show, it's a show that answers callers' questions in a way such that you think that the person you're talking to is actually Jesus Christ. He is not presented as an actor playing a role, but presented as Jesus Christ himself. And I think from a personal perspective, this is wholly irreverent and arrogant even, and therefore it gives me the creeps. But I'll have to leave it at that. John, good talking to you.
Good talking to you, brother. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Donna, listening on Bot Radio in Troy, Missouri. Hi, Donna.
Yeah, hello.
How are you?
I had the question about the mark of the beast, but I also wanted to know about tithing. A lot of people say, I had a preacher one time tell me that it was after your net income, you should tie off of your net income instead of your gross income. Is that a big deal, or what does the Bible in the New Testament relate to tithing? Is it exactly 10%, or...
Well, it depends on whether you want a net blessing or a gross blessing. You know, the issue in the end is this, that tithing, as someone has well said, is the training wheels to giving. In other words, the whole idea is to learn to lean more heavily upon the arm of God as opposed to the arm of flesh. So that you're saying, as a New Testament believer, I don't own anything. In fact, I don't even live. It's Christ that lives in me. I'm living the crucified life. And so I hold what I have in an open hand. God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So we're not owners at all. We don't own anything. We're stewards of what God has, and we want to use our time, talent, and treasure for the glory of God and for the extension of his kingdom.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much then.
Sure, you got it. And of course, Moses communicated to the children of Israel that we tithe so that we may learn to revere the Lord always. And as we all know, learning to reverence the name of God is a timeless principle. It's as crucial today as in the days of Moses. And long before Moses, the Bible records Jacob's promise to God to give a tenth. And long after Moses, we have Jesus reaffirming the practice of tithing in Matthew chapter 23, but not for outward appearances, but rather as an outward expression of an inward faith. And therefore, we don't want to lean in faith upon our own faith, but rather have faith in God. And there is no telling what can be accomplished in our generation if we too may but catch the joy of contagious giving, not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to help those who are downtrodden. We would be able to do things that have been done in the past, but people are increasingly less willing to give because they've either been taught a give to get principle or they've been taught not to give at all. Rather, they've been taught to be selfish with what God gave them. And really, the truth is this: you cannot outgive God. You want to make sure that you invest your time, talent, and treasure in those things that last for all eternity, in ministries that are making a difference in the lives of people for time and for eternity. So giving is a very significant principle, but the New Testament paradigm is not focused on a tenth, but rather that we are stewards. God owns all of what we have, and we are simply to be stewards of what he entrusts us with, so that when we stand before him, he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Chad next, listening on XM 170, Los Angeles, California. Hi, Chad.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for your ministry.
Well, thank you for your encouragement.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I believe fully in the inspiration of God's Word and the Holy Bible.
Uh-huh.
And I read it every day to learn about Jesus.
And, oh, bless you.
And to grow spiritually. And I love Jesus. And my question today is in Hebrews chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
I'm just a little bit, I need to be enlightened on that. What is that saying to us?
Well, Hebrews was written to Jews. And to fall away in Hebrews chapter 6 refers to a Jew who falls back into Judaism in bondage to the law, which is already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the reference is to a professing Christian, not a possessing Christian, which is to say someone who has a said faith. He professes or she professes her faith, but it's only a said faith. It's not a real faith. And therefore, that person, as I said, falls back into bondage to the law. But a genuine believer is one who says, "I am a sinner. I repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord." And therefore, Jesus Christ actually becomes their Lord and Savior. And therefore, the one that saves them will never lose them. Will never fall out of his hand or out of his grasp. And the scripture is replete with that promise. Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in us will carry that good work on to completion.
Yes, that's what I believe. You know, once saved, you're sealed for the day of redemption, and we can never lose our salvation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What you said is very instructive. Ephesians provides the surety that you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession.
Well, that helps a lot. I appreciate it. And God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. I've written about this in the Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. From outward appearances, we can easily be deceived. Judas, for 3 years, he was part of Christ's inner circle. From all outward appearances, he was a true follower of Jesus Christ. And yet, Jesus characterizes Judas as a devil. The book of Hebrews warns us that there were Jews who, like Judas, tasted the goodness of God and yet turned from the grace of God. They acknowledged Christ with their lips, but in the end, falling away proved that their faith was not real faith. And we would do well to remember that everlasting life means just that. It means life everlasting. That life does not begin when we die. That life begins when we embrace the Savior who died in our place. Our physical birth can never be undone. In the same way, our spiritual birth can never be undone. Christ said, "Ye must be born again." He didn't say, "Ye must be born again and again and again And again, in Philippians, God praises God because we can be confident in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, those who embrace him are evergreen. They're not going to lose their everlasting salvation. He who believes has everlasting life, not may have or could have, but has everlasting. And the Jesus Christ that saves you promises that he will keep you strong to the end and guarantees that he is able to keep you from falling and will present you before his glorious presence without fault in the end. Again, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your gift of $100 or more to keep this ministry circling the globe, I'd be happy to personalize a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or just check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of your questions.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible.
Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith. On the other, as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls.
Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS, available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today online at equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. President Barack Obama, in his call to renewal speech, said this: which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay and that eating shellfish is an abomination? Well, on the surface, it sounds like a pretty compelling question. Shellfish? An abomination? Surely we can dispense with that passage. But when we look more closely, we see that our president has fallen into one of the most common hermeneutical traps, interpreting passages of Scripture in isolation. If only he had known the principle of scriptural synergy, he could have saved himself and those that listened to him a world of confusion. Scriptural synergy simply means that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual passages. You cannot comprehend the Bible as a whole without comprehending its individual parts, and you cannot comprehend its individual parts without comprehending the Bible as a whole. And so individual Bible passages may never be interpreted in such a way as to conflict with the whole of Scripture. To me, scriptural synergy is the principal imperative in hermeneutics, which is the art and science of biblical interpretation. That's why the S in my new Lights flip chart, standing at the end to sum up and unify the other five memorable keys in this hankronym for understanding what God has said, is so important. Recently, I posed the all-important question, has God spoken? And the answer is, of course, a resounding yes. So now, our crucial task is to read the Bible, His Word, for all it's worth. And the Lights flip chart is designed to help earnest believers draw out of Scripture what God intends for you to apply to your life. And I want you to be the first, or at least among the first, to have this new flip chart just out. It's size, so it'll go in your pocket or purse. And because of your friendship with the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a copy right away in appreciation for your gift of support of any amount this month. You can order online at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Marie in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Marie.
Hello, Hank. I'm glad to get through to talk to you. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I was wondering, I'm trying to understand the armor of God, how God divinely protects us with the armor. And I'm trying to understand more about the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Yeah, with that shield of faith in hand, I always think of Job, who was enabled to stand strong and steadfast against persecution and temptation, and even the blasphemous thoughts of Satan whispered in his ear. When all was said and done, Satan was able to scorch Job's shield, but he was unable to sear his soul because in addition to truth, righteousness, and peace, he had the shield of faith with which he could extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the issue here is the fact that faith is a defense for all defenses. With the shield of faith in hand, we can stand against everything that comes our way from Satan, the flesh, and the devil. Now, faith is what you really want to understand here, because faith is not faith in your own faith. That's credulity. It's faith in God. So faith is a channel of living trust between an individual and their Lord, and faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if it's faith in God, it's well-placed faith.
Okay.
And if you have faith in God, then you can stand everything that Satan throws your way, because ultimately God will protect you because your faith is in God and therefore well-placed faith.
Okay, thank you, Hank, and you have a good day.
You too. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you put on the full armor of God, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So in the front lines of spiritual warfare, you can step out of subjective demonic rhetoric, which fills the marketplace today, and put on the real antidote to Satan's schemes, which is the full armor of God. The full armor of God, again, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, a book that I wrote a number of years ago that will help you in the issue of spiritual warfare. Again, if you put on the full armor of God, if you put on the covering, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. The book available, you can order online at equip.org. When you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Peter. Peter's listening in Canada on CHRB. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Hank. I really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
And I'd like some information on how to witness to Mormons. And I know they're very steeped in their doctrines, and they've been indoctrinated, and I want to know how I can make a difference in their lives through the gospel and tell them the truth of the gospel. And I also would like to continue to support your ministry, and God bless you for all that you've done.
Well, thank you so much. That means the world to me. And I'm so happy that you have the passion to witness to Mormonism, because Mormonism ultimately confuses the nature of God, and virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. So Christians believe that God is spirit. But Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, taught that God himself was once as we are now, and as an exalted man who sits enthroned in yonder heavens. Mormonism also, and a lot of people don't know this, they hold to a plurality of gods, and they contend that as man is, God once was, but as God is, we may become. In other words, if we reach the third level of the celestial heaven, we can become gods of our own planets. This is a completely different idea than the Christian notion that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, and we will never become gods. We will forever be human beings. We'll be resurrected in the new heavens and the new earth, but there aren't three levels of heaven, and there aren't three different levels of the celestial heaven, which is the third heaven. This simply flies in the face of orthodox biblical teaching. But I think perhaps the most significant thing in all of this, Peter, is the fact that Mormons deny the biblical belief that Jesus Christ is a self-existent creator of all things. In Mormonism, he's the spirit brother of Lucifer, who was conceived in heaven by a celestial mother and came in flesh as the result of the father having sex with the Virgin Mary. Again, this is in sharp distinction to biblical orthodoxy. So you want to be able to show that Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God, and we will never become gods in our own right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. And if you send some information, I plan to send a gift to support your ministry.
Well, I would love to do that. Right now, one of the things that you might be interested in is a flip chart, Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. How about that?
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
Okay, hang on. We'll get it out to you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, Peter. Appreciate your call. Again, Peter, listening in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tim, listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I've been waiting to talk to you for a long time. I've been listening to your radio show for years.
Well, thank you.
I live out here in Moscow Mills, which is right by Troy. I talked to a person earlier. I have a question about the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about earlier that Jesus read the Torah, and I wanted to know if when he was reading it, did he read the books that are in the Catholic book and not in the other Christian books, like, for instance, Baptist or Methodist or whatever else?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't doubt that Jesus Christ read the Apocrypha, but what we say is that the Apocrypha adds books to the Old Testament that fail the test of canonicity and thus are not part and parcel of the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. The Apocrypha can be very, very helpful to fill in background detail of particularly what happened during the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew. But as evangelical believers, we do not think that it is inspired, infallible revelation. But very, very helpful to read the Apocrypha.
So you don't think that Jesus thought it was inspired by God?
No, in fact, if Jesus thought it was inspired by God and actually said that it was inspired by God, it would do a whole lot to underscore the Apocrypha as part of the canon. The canon in the Old Testament was pretty much established on the basis of Christ's acknowledgement of the Torah and the law and the prophets and the historical books that you find in the Old Testament. So the canon was pretty much settled and not really up for debate by and large.
Huh. Okay.
I have a little flip chart. And in that flip chart, I give the principles on which canonicity is discovered by men but determined by God.
Okay.
That might be helpful to you.
Oh, yeah, that was very helpful to me. Thank you. I have one more quick question. My pastor, or one of my pastors, I go to several churches that are non-Catholic. They're, I forget what you call them, but... one's a Baptist church, one's a Methodist, one's a United Church of Christ. My family is United Church of Christ church, but I attend a Baptist church regularly. And I had a question about, they told me, I mean, the actual pastor said that if somebody is in the church and that belongs to the church and they are doing something that's not biblically good to be doing, and you have proof, or you just confront the person about it and ask them, and then if, you know, so on, if they don't reply or whatever, then you go back with more people. Or, well, I wanted to know, what if your pastor tells you that? Because my pastor has, I know he's supposed to have a lot of patience, and he didn't have as much patience with this man who had a mental disorder.
Yeah, I'm going to have to answer that when I come back from the break. Unfortunately, I'm out of time for this segment, so I'll give a comment on that when we come back from the break, and more of your questions. Be right back.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. To a child, the darkness of night can be confusing and even frightening. But as soon as the light is turned on, all the shadows vanish and the child sees the truth, that he is in the comfort of his own room and that there's nothing to be afraid of. So too, the Bible can be a confusing and frightening place if we do not know how to read it. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff has created memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. God has spoken in the pages of Scripture, and the Lights pocket-sized flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. The Christian Research Institute is supported only by your generous donations. And to say thank you for your gifts, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Lights flip chart when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, or you can order online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between good and evil, truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement on critical issues in the church. As social media explodes around the globe, ideas of friendship and community are rapidly changing. Yet for all its possibilities, the virtual world can't replace the significance of embodied interactions. Douglas Groteis helps us understand what place social media should have in our lives. Plus, articles on the wisdom of Pixar, the biblical concept of family, and much more. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, let's return now to the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and right back to our phone callers. I was talking to Tim in Moscow Mills, Missouri, about this whole issue of what do you do with respect to correcting someone. Now, there are two kinds of corrections that take place. One is public, the other is private. In Galatians chapter 2, for example, you have Paul reproving Peter for false teaching, and Paul's reproof was singularly public in the presence of all, the text tells us, not private. In Matthew 18, it does not really have to do with correction of public teaching, but rather it deals with the proper action to take if a brother sins against another brother. And certainly that applies to pastors just as it applies to parishioners. It applies to all believers. And again, it has to do with private, not public, correction within the body of Christ.
Okay.
Yeah. I was concerned by one thing you said before we went to break, and that is you're going to a lot of different churches. I think it's really important that you select a home church.
All my family goes to a United Church of Christ church. When they do go, they don't go as often. For a while, I was grabbed a hold of by the Baptist church because the minister there spent every time, like every day, trying to bring people to Christ. And when I was younger, I was in the United Church of Christ, and I don't remember them ever talking about, you know, coming to Christ and stuff. And they're just like, I passed the thing, and I definitely couldn't say I was saved.
Well, the United Church of Christ is typically very liberal, and as such, they deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christ's incarnation. The supernatural is frequently denied within that denomination, and that's something to take very, very seriously. So this is very typical.
The Holy Ghost does not exist to them?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that they frequently deny the supernatural, such as the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
They don't believe Jesus Christ resurrected?
Frequently, that's the case, yes. It's a liberal denomination, and I think that's a very serious consideration.
Well, I think our church does do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe that just...
Well, that's why I qualified my comment with the word typical, but it is very typical that that is a liberal denomination.
So I should be careful about that, I guess.
Well, you should definitely find out what do they believe about the resurrection and the incarnation and so forth.
Okay? Yeah.
Hey, good talking to you, Tim.
Thank you very much. God bless you, sir.
God bless you as well. And Tim brings up an issue, and that is an issue with respect to finding a good church. And it's one of the questions I'm so frequently asked. And that question has taken on added significance in recent years because of the massive impact televangelism has had on our culture. In all too many cases, worship has been replaced with entertainment, and fellowship has been transformed into rugged individualism. And in view of those cultural developments, I think it's critical that Christians have a handle on the ingredients of a healthy, well-balanced church. Of course, the first sign is a pastor who is committed to leading the community of faith in the worship of God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation. Prayer is so inextricably woven together with the fabric of worship that it would be unthinkable to have a church service without it. From the very inception of the early Christian church, prayer has been a primary means of worshiping God. Through prayer, we have the privilege of expressing adoration and thanksgiving to the one who saved us, the one who sanctifies us, and the one who one day will glorify us. In fact, our Lord himself set the pattern by teaching his disciples the prayer of Jesus in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Praise is another key ingredient of worship. Scripture urges us to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing psalms is a magnificent means for intercession and instruction and even to internalize the Word of God. In addition, the great hymns of the faith have stood the test of time. They're rich in theological tradition and truth. Of course, spiritual songs, well, they communicate the freshness of our faith, and thus it is crucial that we preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage and a regard for contemporary compositions. Along with prayer and praise, there's the proclamation of the word that is so axiomatic to experiencing vibrant worship. Paul urged Timothy to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Why? Because the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around themselves a great number of teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Church leaders must once again produce in their people a holy hunger for the Word of God, because it is through the proclamation of God's Word that believers are edified and exhorted, they're encouraged and equipped. A healthy, well-balanced church is evidenced as well by oneness. Christ breaks the barriers of gender and race. He breaks the barrier of our background, and He unites us as one under the banner of His love. And that oneness is tangibly manifested through community and confession and contribution. Community that's visible in baptism, that's also visible as we partake of the elements which symbolize Christ through whom we are one. Our fellowship on earth, celebrated through communion, is a foretaste of the heavenly fellowship that we will share when the symbol gives away to the substance. A further expression of our oneness, of course, is our confession of faith, our core set of beliefs, what is rightly referred to as essential Christianity. And that's why I so often say on the broadcast, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, in all things charity. And then contribution of our time, talent, and treasure. We can't forget that. The question should be asked not, what can the church do for me, but what can I do for the church? I think the tragedy of modern Christianity is that when members of the body hurt, too often we relegate them to finding resources outside the walls of the church. That is precisely why the Apostle Paul exhorts us to share with God's people who are in need, to practice hospitality. One final point before we go back to our callers. I think a healthy, well-balanced church is one that is committed to equipping believers to be effective witnesses to what they believe, why they believe, and who they believe. In the Great Commission, Christ called believers not to make mere converts, but to make disciples. A disciple is a learner or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we must be prepared to communicate what we believe, why we believe, and who we believe. The bottom line is this. We know we have discovered a good church if God is worshipped in spirit and in truth through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. If the oneness we share in Christ is tangibly manifested through community, confession, contribution, and if the church is equipping its members as witnesses who can communicate what they believe, why they believe, and who they believe. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John. He's listening on WTRU in North Carolina. Hi, John.
How are you doing, Hank?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing super. When I stumbled on you in 2003, I had no idea how widely my eyes could be opened.
Oh, bless you.
And so, and welcome to the Carolinas. I'm probably about 35 miles from you.
Thank you.
All of that being said, I have about 65 questions for you. And I know I only have time for one. So my youngest son went to a youth event called The Ramp in Hamilton, Alabama. It's Karen Wheaton Ministries.
Yes.
He came back positively on fire for the Lord. I mean, his whole demeanor had changed. He is, I'm so proud, you know, Southern saying, I'm so proud of him, I could bust. Okay, I'm happy with the direction his life is taking. But because I am leery of a lot of charismatic churches now, and there's a long story behind that I won't go into, but I was wondering, have you heard of Karen Wheaton Ministries?
Well, only in association with the Trinity Broadcasting Network as a gospel singer and preacher that's prominent on TBN, and unfortunately is associated with a lot of the faith teachers that you find in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But I honestly don't know enough about her theology to be able to comment authoritatively on what she believes. I do find the associations on TBN to be problematic, although in general, I would say that TBN is a platform that can be used for good or used for ill, and therefore the fact that there are bad teachers on TBN would want us to have more good teachers.
I've seen some of the good ones on there, and those I like, but I was concerned. I'm not concerned about his actions. His actions have been exemplary, and believe me, I've learned a lot listening to you. And his actions are great, and
well,
I'm happy about that.
Praise God
for
that.
But I was just concerned when I heard it, and I was kind of wanting a professional input on that.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think you have to be very excited about the fact that your son is on fire for the Lord, and make certain that he's grounded in essential Christian doctrine. Here's the reason. If you become so familiar with a genuine article, then you don't have to fear the counterfeit. And that's the whole goal. We want people to be so familiar with essential Christian doctrine that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, they know it instantaneously.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your help.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for calling. I got just enough time to remind those who support this ministry, I'd love to send you Lights on Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth as my way of saying thank you. Memorable keys to understanding what God has said, reading the Bible again for all it's worth. If God has spoken, what has God said? You can master the principles of biblical interpretation in minutes, remember them for a lifetime. So here is a laminated, memorable guide to the art and science of biblical interpretation. Again, you can order your copy on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, thanks again for your prayers and for your support. Look forward to talking to you again in the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate. And just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Film, the literature of our modern culture, so often portrays ideas contrary to Christianity. However, Pixar Animation Studios has consistently produced films that are not only blockbuster hits, but also reflect classical Christian values. Robert Velarde takes an in-depth look at the philosophy and worldview embedded in these remarkable films. And in our age of information overload, Christians must learn to discern between truth and falsity. Hank Hanegraaff's acronym DISCERN is a memorable tool that can help believers discern for themselves in the face of sharp disagreement among leaders in the church. Plus, articles on understanding social media, the biblical concept of family, and more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose. and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.